So as we head into the holiday season and prepare to welcome in the new year, we're thinking about what we want to bring into our lives and we're setting new goals. And reaching our goals means making choices and embracing change. And we want to be making choices that feel good, but sometimes it's hard to tell the difference between fear and intuition. Is it fear bubbling up with those limiting beliefs of I'm not enough, I don't deserve this, I'm not going to be able to make it happen? Or is it our intuition guiding us to what's right? Yeah, you got what it takes. It has to be me, go for it. Or oh, I don't know, there's some red flags. It does not have to be me. So this conversation comes up a lot in my office hours for Skinny 60. A lot of members saying, I just don't know. I don't know what to trust. Is it the old tape or should I really not be doing this? So I brought in some help from Heather Maguire. She's an intuitive coach and she's got a wonderful way of helping you recognize what your intuition feels like so that you can tell the difference between how fear activates in your body and where your intuition lies so that you can learn to recognize it and then trust it and be making places from your internal guidance system that knows what's right. Heather has got a fantastic bag of tools and strategies, and we're going to get some of them today. I love her approach of making changes is not about fixing what's broken. It's about recognizing what's standing in your way and then gaining the clarity and confidence to move forward and take action on what you want. So I think you're going to love what she has to say. So let's get the skinny from Heather Maguire.
When was the last time you said, it has to be me? You know, that feeling where you know in your gut, this is what I want to do, and you just go for it. Welcome to It Has to Be Me. I'm Tess Masters, and I'm getting the skinny from people who are smashing their fears and doubts to go from dreaming to doing. Let's dive in, get fired up, and go after your next. It has to be me.
Oh, Heather, I'm so excited to talk with you today because I'm just fascinated by what you do. So can you take me into one of those big it has to be me moments when you had studied psychology at Boston University and you were working in a school for emotionally challenged kids and your father died unexpectedly? And take me inside how that changed the course of things for you.
Well, immediately I knew obviously I couldn't start my master's program because I couldn't concentrate. I couldn't read. I couldn't do anything. So that immediately it was press pause on the program. And then I really thought about what do I want to be doing for the rest of my life in a different way. And absolutely was influenced by that loss, because life felt really heavy and hard at that time. And to be choosing to spend my life in other people's heaviness and heartache and struggle just felt wrong.
It does not have to be me anymore.
No.
So when you listening, your ability to listen to your intuition and change course and give yourself permission to do that, because often we don't give ourselves permission. I've studied this, I'm doing this, this is what I decided, I've got to stick with it. And we don't. Was that born out of feeling so much heaviness and pain? Or did you innately already have the ability to listen to your intuition on that deep level?
You know, it's funny because I've been, we'll talk about it later, that I have this miracle club and I'm teaching people how to track miracles. And so I'm paying more attention to the miracles and the ways that they show up. And so I was just before we started our conversation thinking, you know, I just got my hair cut short. I'm always changing it. Other people always keep it the same. And like, I could imagine my life in a million different ways, and I'm probably not unique in that, but yeah. I think there is something in me that says, well, I could also try this. I could also try that. I just like different things. I kind of like change in a lot of ways. So
whoa,
for me,
that's a gift, because a lot of us do not embrace change right? That easily.
Yeah.
So you already had that ability and that natural tendency to embrace change, love change, enjoy it, crave it. So the next It Has to Be Me moment of you opening that handcraft gallery and switching what you were doing for a career or for a job, was that born out of a need to feel more levity and joy and be creating and leaning into that part of yourself after being in the heaviness and still being in the heaviness?
Absolutely. Absolutely. My shop was a recreation of one of my favorite things, which is the little handcraft galleries you go in when you're on vacation and you see
all the things
that people make and
just
marvel at their creativity and ingenuity. Yeah. And that's a happy place for me. I can spend all day there. And
a happy place for so many people. I mean, I actively seek those places out when I'm traveling. And on every trip that I do, I buy a pair of earrings from a local artist. And I wonder, dear listener, if you have a little tradition like that, you know, you pick up a postcard, you pick up a sculpture, you pick up, you know, I think, you know, it's a service what you were doing with that gallery. Like, it's just a joy. A joy giver service, you know?
Yeah. So it was therapeutic for me to be able to be in a space where I got to be creative because I was making things and painting furniture. And so I was making art alongside of, you know, selling other people's work. And I got to be surrounded by creativity. And there's a million different ways to feel better in your life. And creativity is such a big one, such a big one.
I agree. Whenever I am in a challenging place and feel like I'm in a dark hole, I find my way out by leaning into my creativity, for sure, or celebrating others' creativity, you know, whether it be watching a movie, making art, going to a class, you know, I'm absolutely meeting you in that place right now. It's so beautiful. So take me into the next It Has to Be Me moment when you closed the gallery.
So that was a tough choice. I loved it so, so much. But my baby, 9/11, the uncertainty of what was coming next, and my lease being up, it was the time. It was the time to do it. And so... I think, you know, it was one of those moments that was hard to come to. Sometimes the right choice is a hard choice to make.
Yes.
It's one to kind of get to through a lot of struggle and strife. And now I can see that so much of my identity, so much of who I believed I was that shop.
Yeah.
And so it felt like I was losing more than a career. It felt like I was losing myself, letting it go and letting it close. But it was the choice that I needed to make at that time so that I could be present for my.
Yes. So take me inside that process of you finding it really hard, but going through the door anyway and then closing one door in order to step into this role of motherhood and being fully present in that role and that chapter of your life. Because I think a lot of us find that little corridor between it's really, really hard, but I got to do it anyway, and walking through the door and closing it. How did you get there?
I think that this is where my, even though I wouldn't have used this language at the time because I hadn't studied anything about intuition, I hadn't really given it a lot of thought. This is where I leaned into my intuition. This is where I leaned into how do I feel. So like everybody else, I made the lists of good and bad, yes and no, why it's right, why it's wrong. But ultimately, I gave myself permission to trust what I was feeling. And what I was feeling was, even though it was hard, this felt more right.
Right. Okay. More... So what did that feel like in your body? And I know it's different for everybody, but I think that's a really big part of tapping into our intuition, right? Where is it activated or deactivated in the body? What am I feeling? So what were you feeling?
So for me, that yes decision is, it's like time slows down inside of my body.
Ooh.
Right?
What does that
so my
feel
head
like?
Might still be spinning, but time slows down. It's like, we don't have great language for these things. We don't have great language to describe it, but you know when you've felt it, when something inside of you just sort of, it's like a feather settles down to the ground and you just say, yeah.
Well, I think that was good language because I didn't quite understand what that might feel like. Mm. And now I do. So I think you do have the language. Yeah. Okay. So there's a levity, a lightness, an ease.
Yes.
Would that be a good way to describe it?
And a settling, a calming. When when you know there is that, you know, all of the water has been stirred up, it's all murky. And then you say, okay, this is it. And you can feel it all settle.
Yeah. And this flow. If we're going to run with that water analogy. Yeah, I can put that into my body now. Thank you. So what's your definition of intuition? Because it's this word that we hear all the time and, you know, your intuition and trust your intuition, that's your intuition. And I think that we all have a different idea of what that means. So what's the language that you use to describe what that is?
It's such a real true question because we all do have a different sense of what that means. And for me, I start with the real broad definition of intuition is knowing something without knowing how you know it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So when you think of your friend and then they call you later that day. When you're sitting at the stoplight and you know someone's looking at you or someone's entered the room, it's not information that you went looking for necessarily, but it's something that you know. And I take it a little bit further by saying that it's knowing that comes from this sort of meeting place of your mind, your body, your spirit, and the collective consciousness or the universe. It's this meeting place. So you're pulling information from all of those sources and then it's arriving in your awareness.
Yeah. I mean, I feel it all the time. And I know that we all do. I feel like the next step is trusting it, having faith in it, letting it settle, listening to it, which is where your work comes in. So take me into that It Has to Be Me moment when you were at home raising your children, working from home, and you decided it has to be me to join this intuitive development circle, which a lot of people aren't going to be doing, you know? So what was that It Has to Be Me for you where you made that choice to walk through that door?
So that's a great question. I was, for a lot of my life, I really struggled with loneliness, depression, feeling different, just not feeling a sense of sort of clicking, I guess you could say. Mm. And
is that why you craved change and welcomed change? Because you intuitively needed shifts? In order to find balance when you weren't feeling right?
Yeah. That feels very true to me that I am energetically very sensitive. And so, I adjust a lot. And and I didn't have any awareness of that. I didn't have any understanding of that. But clock two, my kids are small. I'm living in the town where my husband grew up. He's at home here. He's worked here. He's lived here his whole life. And I don't really feel at home here yet. I don't have my family. I have, a small spattering of friends, but everybody's so busy. And And I was told, well, when your kids get into school, you're going to make all your friends. That's when you make your friends. And that's when I realized really, really clearly that actually I was having different conversations than other people. I was trying to go up and make friends by telling people things like, you know, the way that you speak to people, they respond to your words with just, they lean into you. They can feel the warmth from you no matter what you're saying. And things like that. And people thought I was so odd and they did not want to be my friend.
Oh gosh. So instead of feeling more of a sense of belonging, you felt more of an outcast.
Yes. Yes, exactly. And so that's how I found the Intuitive Development Circle. I said, what is going on? I got to figure this out. And to me, it felt like intuition was the place to start. Something, I was seeing something and I was having a conversation about something that other people weren't picking up on and weren't talking about.
So how did you find this Intuitive Development Circle?
Oh, the universe. Seriously, like, I don't know. The universe and Google. I just Googled something like
Well, Google intuition. Would argue they are the universe. Oh, gosh. Okay, so you were looking for something, you found it, and then you entered this circle. And did you just feel a sense of belonging where all of a sudden you were speaking the same language with these other people?
Oh, my gosh. It was I think everybody should give it a try because it's so much fun. It's so fun. You go and you sit in a circle with all these people and you do this beautiful meditation and then you try all these like games. And so my first class, she said, well, we're going to open up the circle. And if you've got something, share it. And I was like, well, I'm definitely not saying anything because I don't know what's happening. And, you know, and then kind of right at the end, she said, you know, there's a couple more minutes. So if anybody else has anything, and I didn't know what that meant, but I kept kind of having this vision of a fireman's hat in my head. And then when I paid attention to that, I was seeing the back of this man's head that looked like he was bald. And I had this feeling like he was shorter than me. And as I paid more attention to it, a handful more things came. And so I just shared that. And this woman in the circle said, oh, that's my husband. He's a fireman.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. So I was hooked. Out of the gate, I was hooked. Yeah.
And so you just kept going to this circle and practicing, basically, practicing with others. And so take me into the next It Has to Be Me, where it progressed from a sense of belonging and feeling and practicing to sharing your honed gifts with others?
Well, I would share it really privately and sporadically. And, you know, if somebody was kind of open-minded, I'd say, well, you know, I do a thing. And then I sprung it on a few people a couple times just to see what would happen. I'm surprised I was allowed in our local coffee shop because like a handful of times I brought people down there and I used to write it down on paper. You know, I would sit on the couch and think about them and just write down whatever came to me. And a couple times I invited people down for coffee and then I said, well, if you don't mind, and I'd haul out my notes and they would be bawling in the coffee shop, these poor people.
Whoa. But, so it was very much born organically, which happens so much in life, doesn't it? Where our passion becomes our purpose, becomes our work, becomes our career. So where was it in the story where you realized you're a medium?
In that intuitive development circle, it was actually mediumship development. And the way that I work, it's all the same practice. The way that I read, it's all the same practice. And so as you're learning how to pay attention in mediumship, you're paying attention to the subtle things that are happening in your body, the subtle imagery in your mind. And that's the same channels your intuition uses to communicate to you. And when you keep asking questions and you're curious, you get all kinds of information. It's really, yes, really amazing.
So I want to ask you about mediumship because, again, you know, it conjures up ideas of the Patricia Arquette show, Medium. And, you know, everybody has a different idea of what that means and what that is. And then there are a whole different, you know, there are a variety of different kinds of mediums and how people channel their abilities and use them to help others. So what's your definition or your way of mediumship?
Yeah. So the sort of standard spiritual definition of a medium is someone who communicates with people in spirit, people who've mm-hmm. passed. And that's part of my work, a big part of my work. But I also say that I'm the medium, meaning just like you said, everyone has their own way of doing it, their own variation or shades of bringing forward this information, because we are the medium. Just like an artist who makes watercolors or oil paintings or sculptures, they could be creating the same tree or the same sunset, but it's going to look different depending on the medium that they use. So I am a medium. The medium of me includes my life experience, my memories, my connections to who knows what. Spirit is so resourceful. They'll use movies, TV shows, old cars, everything that is the medium of me that they can pull out of me to communicate the message.
So going back to what you were saying before of how you just started sharing and being curious and being in communion with these people that you knew already. And so how did that then progress into where you are today, where for many years now you have been helping people all over the world? You know, so it went from local to global. And doing it online and all these things. So did you just keep trusting your intuition and receiving how other people were holding what you were doing, knowing that it was right, you know, and feeling the effect that it had on others? Did you just continue to listen to that and just keep giving yourself permission to keep doing it and allowing it to go where it went? Or did you have more of a plan?
No, it was definitely organic. It was definitely option A. I just kept sharing it and talking about it. It did reach a point where there was another one of those decisions that I had to make. There was a point where I had to decide to leave the job that I had and leap into this. And that was, again, one of those moments where I knew what felt right, but it was terrifying. I was,
because you were running the Chamber of Commerce in the town, right? Yeah. So you had a stable job, very socially acceptable job, you know, very in the box, you know, people can understand what that is. You know, I'm sure you had a, you know, particular amount of respect in the community. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
So the identity thing that you were talking about previously.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And when you step into the thing that feels like it's you, there's a vulnerability that is so present.
Ooh, tell me more about that. What that felt like for you.
Well, I believe that our life's journey, it doesn't matter what you're doing with it, the journey is to walk more and more into who you are. Right?
Yes.
To keep dropping the layers of this is who I'm supposed to be. This is what that has to look like. This is what people are looking for. And it's not you, it's there's intentional and unintentional layers of that, conscious and unconscious. And that's what I believe our life's work is to return to ourselves. And so when you take a step in that direction and you stand in front of people and say, this is me, this is who I am. Wow. It gets real quick, really, yeah. really quick. And there's ways that we all pull away from that, but there's a lot of us, and I find entrepreneurs tend to be this way, who continue to step towards it. You know, we can't keep our hand off the stove, so to speak. because we can feel it. We know that's where our power is. We know that's where the juice of our life is, and we want it.
Ooh, I love that. That's where the juice of our life is. I love juice. I love juicy stories and juicy conversations and juicy happenings. I want to ask you about this fear piece. The fear versus intuition. Because I can only speak for myself. And then obviously as a coach in my community in Skinny 60 and the Decadent Detox, this comes up a lot where we confuse the two. And we're often making fear-based decisions that we confuse with intuitive hits. So I'd love to get your thoughts about that, how you see that and how you help people differentiate between those things. Is that the right way to say it?
Yeah. Yeah. That's a beautiful way to lay it out. And you can see it's so interesting, you know, because this is your world, food and nutrition. And so people bump into themselves there. People get afraid. Everywhere we go, there we are, right? Yeah. So it doesn't matter what you're doing, you're going to bump into your stuff. And this is a lot of what I do with people is helping them tease this apart, because
I like that, tease it apart and adjust. You used that word before, adjust, and it just went right into me.
So as you practice getting used to what it feels like inside of your body, you can start to pay attention and notice more easily where the fear lives, what it feels like. So you can recognize it in your body and you can recognize it in your thoughts. And fear tends to have a real bite to it, a real judgmental, you're not good enough, you don't know what you're doing. It can catastrophize like nobody's business. This is going to be the end of you. It is very, very rarely saying anything positive to you, making you feel good. It makes you feel like I need to pull back. I need to hide. Yeah. I need to find someplace safe.
Yes. And that's often what you know, which can be something that doesn't serve you.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah. But our brains, because it's what we know, we feel safe, even if it's not actually safe.
Exactly. And then that compounds because we have all kinds of judgment about ourselves around it. I shouldn't be like this. I should know better. Yes. I did it again. I failed, right? So it just compounds and compounds, and it can really grind you down. Your intuition feels completely different. It feels completely different. First of all, intuition is also fast. Your brain is really fast. It comes rushing in. Your intuition is also really fast, but it feels so different. It is generative, warm, supportive. It comes not in an onslaught of words, but in a flash of knowing, of understanding. A lot of times there's a feeling first that brings in the knowing. And you feel, even if the decision is, you know what, no, that's not right for me, you feel safer in that decision, that feather settling down. Yeah, this feels right.
Yeah. Oh, I'm going to be looking and feeling for the feather. I love that. It's a beautiful idea, but that I can immediately feel in my body and put into my body. So thank you so much for that gift. So before you were talking about it feeling slow and how fast the brain is. So take me inside how you help people get slower and give themselves permission to be slower. Give us some tangible tools about how we can connect with that piece of us or that ability.
So a lot of times people want some kind of really complicated process, or they think that they do, and they think they want to have 25 steps, and then they don't do all the 25 steps, and then they feel bad about it. And so we're going to break up with that habit with this. We're going to give ourselves permission to let this be an organic discovery process, because your body already knows how to do this. You already know how to do this. You're just going to slow down, and your body's going to teach you. That's step one. Okay, so I know there's like a little panic that rises up in people when they're like, so what's my first step? So how do I do it? So,
oh, you are so right.
Right. Yeah. So your body already knows. You're just along for the ride. Your brain's going to figure it out and your body's going to teach you.
So yeah, and I mean, what was coming up for me as you were saying this, even though we're just having a gentle, beautiful conversation right now, oh, I'm going to get it wrong. Am I going to be able to slow down enough? Blah, 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 blah. I'm not going to do it right. I'm not going to get it. I don't have the ability. I'm going to be the one that, you know, it's all the things
exactly
you were talking
it.
About.
That's yeah. exactly it. So when you slow down and you pay attention, you hear that and you notice that and you're like, oh, wait, okay, that's happening. That's one of the most brilliant gifts I got from my kids when they were in middle school. They came home and that was like the catchphrase. Well, that happened. And I think it's so brilliant. I love it so much. So, okay, that happened. My brain got a little freaked out when there were no directions. Got it. Okay.
Noted. Yeah.
So
I'm stealing that from you too, Heather. Well, that happened. And then just get curious about it. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So that curiosity and that breath, that's all you need to do. So what I recommend for people, especially people who want to have a structure and a system because they want to get this right, is sit down with yourself. Sit down with yourself, take a breath, and start asking yourself questions. What does it feel like inside of my body right now? You'll notice that there are words. Your brain is going to answer the question and keep coming back. What else do I notice? What else do I notice? Because when I sit with my clients and I ask them, for example, I had a client who had a pinched nerve, right? She was in a lot of pain and a lot of discomfort, and she'd been to the chiropractor and the acupuncturist, and I'm sure all of that really helped loosen things up. But when she got in there and we sat and I asked her, what does the pain feel like? First, it was sharp and it was bright and it was stabbing and moving. And the more she sat with it and got curious about it, she found one little point. And somehow that little point reminded her and made her think of herself when she was five and what had happened to her when she was five. And as she sat with that memory, the feelings in her body shifted. And somehow she suddenly just had this intuitive awareness of, oh, that scared me. And my body's responding to that fear. Something that had happened in her life the week before had scared her, had hit that memory in her body and scared her. And this was her body's response.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you've got this great list on your website, the Inner Pickle. Is that right? The Inner Pickle checklist. Oh gosh, I love that checklist. So listener, you can download that on Heather's website. The link is in the show notes at unconventionalintuitive.com. Is this a checklist that we can use for every situation, these steps that you're taking us through?
So this is a tangible tool to walk you through what we just did. And, yeah. Well, really when you're in a pickle. When you can't decide.
I mean, it's the best name for it. Yes.
When you are stuck, is this my intuition telling me that I shouldn't do this? Or is this my fear just making this hard? Right?
Yeah.
The In a Pickle checklist on the top, you have a little space to write down what's happening, what's the situation, and what am I thinking and feeling about it. And then the checklist walks you through your senses and teaches you, what does fear sound like, feel like, look like? What does your intuition? And you can just check the boxes. Oh, when I think about this way, I feel like my world's about to end. I feel like I'm going to be out on the street. And your fear isn't rational most of the time. Sometimes there are little kernels of reason, but a lot of times it's so catastrophic and ridiculous when you really listen to it that it's easy to discount when you actually stop and listen to it and say, okay, all right, it's not that bad.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to be okay. And so what happens when you work through the checklist is immediately you start shifting into intuition. You immediately start to make this energetic shift. And, Eckhart Tolle and all those people, they talk about that space, that space for observation.
Yes.
Instead of your fear being inside of you, being your reality, you get the step back from it, and it allows you to evaluate it in a different way and say, okay, that I can take care of, that I don't need to worry about, that is a conversation. It's so helpful. It's so helpful.
And observing without judgment.
Yeah.
It's so, and being curious about yourself and why you're feeling the way that you are and where it's activating. And it's just, it's such a powerful practice. I want to ask you about something you talked about before, about the looking for the miracles, right? And then deciding that you were going to open up this miracles club, which is free. I mean, dear listener, you can join it for free and get on these Zoom calls and be sitting in communion with other people who are wanting to look for the light, I guess, is that a good way to say it? But you talked about in your own life wanting to look for the miracles. Now, I also feel like that is a very charged word, where we all have a different understanding of what that means, depending on our life experiences, our religious beliefs, etc. So because, dear Heather, you have displayed that you have absolutely got the right words, or words that deeply resonate with me to describe things, how would you describe a miracle? What's your understanding of that?
All right. I'm going to start at the place where I started with miracles, and that was when I was going to that intuitive development circle. So first of all, there were miracles because wild things were happening, right? I was in this world all of a sudden where people were talking with dead people and knowing things about other people, holding your car keys in your hand and telling your life story based on the energy of your car. It was wild, right? And so my world kind of jerked a little bit. My understanding of how things work was shaken. And one of the ways that I helped myself process all of that is I would take my dog out in the woods and we would hike and hike and hike. And I started to notice that when I was really stressed out and worried and in my head, the hike, I would get back to my car and I would just be more wound up. But when I could let it go and be present, and this was part of my practice, asking, what do I notice? What do I notice? What do I notice? That's how I got into my body, how I got out of this cycle. And what would happen when I did that on those walks is I started finding all of these heart rocks. And they were everywhere. Mm. And it was so magical to me. It was so miraculous that it felt like the universe or nature or some consciousness was saying to me, yeah, keep going, Heather. Look, look what happens when you drop into this place.
And so do you mean that you were physically finding rocks in the shape of hearts? Or are you saying heart rock is in a thought or a feeling?
Heart rocks shaped like hearts everywhere. Everywhere. I started tucking them in little nooks of trees and lining the trails with them. And it was so much fun. It was so fun. Yeah. Okay. So miracles, the idea for miracles kind of started there, right? Then I also noticed around the same time that my energy was changing my son's response after school. I got really curious about this. And what I mean is every day after school was horrible. Every day after school, I was so excited to pick my son up. And after about 3 minutes, I was wishing I had an after school program so I could drop him off.
Why was it horrible?
The transition was terrible. And I used to say it was that he had a problem with transition, but maybe it was me. I don't know. There was a lot of just clash and frustration and tears and, oh, and one day I felt so sad about it that I just sat on my couch and I cried a little bit. And I thought, what do I want my son to know? Like, what's the most important thing? If he never behaves the way I think he should behave after school, fine. But what is the most important thing? The most important thing is how much I love him and how much I want him to know that he's loved. And this feeling just washed over me. And I got into my car and went to pick up, washed in that feeling. And didn't that son of a gun come out of school and walk right up to me? Hi, Mom. What's up? Just happy, calm, cool. The first time ever. So I said, that is very interesting. And I started experimenting. Well, if my energy is different, how can I change my energy? What can that look like? What else is going to be different?
Yes.
And I like to tell people, you know, the days when you get out of bed, get out of the wrong side of the bed and you're just pissed off, your day doesn't go very smooth usually.
No, it does not. It sets the tone for the whole day. Unless you consciously shift it.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. And so that interaction of I can control what's in here. How much can I play with that? And how much is the world around me, my work, my family, the universe, going to respond? That led me to this idea of miracles. And I know that people have, like you said, there's a variety of relationships with that word. And A Course in Miracles says that a miracle is a shift from fear to love.
Oh, I love that. So yeah. We can be experiencing miracles all day long. We have the power to create miracles when we embrace your definition, which I love. I'm embracing it. Yeah, because I'm going to be really honest. Miracle is not a word that I use very much. It's not a word that is really in my common lexicon. I love it when other people use it, you know, and I'm like, ooh, tell me, let's celebrate that, you know. I mean, I hear this all the time in Skinny 60 or the Decadent Detox. It's a miracle how much better I feel. And I know what these people mean, that it's just so unbelievable and incredible and the change is so positive and extraordinary and life-changing that they just cannot believe it. It's like something you can't believe is how I've been interpreting it. But gosh, I like your version so much better. A shift from fear to love. Oh, thank you. Thank you. That is a gift.
Yeah. Yeah. So in the Miracles Club, that's really what we do. It's the most incredible thing I've ever been a part of because I really just show up and make this space for this to happen. And the miracles are never ending, just never ending. It's mind blowing. And just this week, so we always start with people with like a check-in, and it usually starts, people are kind of quiet. Oh, I don't have any miracles. Nothing happened. And then someone will share a little something and someone else will share a little something. And all of a sudden you can see people's face start to change. They start to sit up a little taller. They get excited. And all of a sudden people are saying, you know, now that I think about it like that, I did have some miracles.
Yes.
So already their energy is shifting, right? And yes. Then we move into some sort of visualization, meditation, conversation. And this week, I closed out the meditation by saying something along the lines of, if you could take this feeling of love and encapsulate it somehow, you could leave it everywhere. You could send it to people. You could tuck it on the shelf at the grocery store or throw it out the window when you're driving down the highway. And you could leave it as a little surprise for people. Who knows what you could do with it?
Yeah.
And then we came back, and we always have a few minutes for feedback. And this woman in the group was pretty close to tears. And she said, I had a website in college. And I wish I could remember the name of her website. It was so perfect, but it was essentially more kindness. And she was putting little kindness notes in library books at her college library that said, go to this website. There's a message for you. And it was this beautiful way of weaving in details from things that were relevant to the people in the group in this way you could never do yourself, and reflecting back to her, the universe seeing her. And I talked to her this morning, and this is something she's been thinking of. It's been on her mind a lot, wondering how she can bring back that part of herself and appreciate that part of herself. And so the universe took that opportunity to shine the mirror and say, hey, look at you. Look how fabulous you are. It's so wild. I just love it.
Wow. I mean, you know, it is that, isn't it? In relationships, they're reflections, and in relationships with different people, we get to see a reflection of ourselves. And that is how we decide if it's a healthy relationship or not, or at least that's how I describe it. You know, do I like who I am with this person? In this relationship, whatever kind of relationship it is, you know, does this bring out in me things that I want to lean into or not? You know, I guess that in and of itself, by your definition, could be a miracle. You know, when I realize that, right, I go from fear to love, you know.
Yeah.
I want to ask you more about how you help people embrace change and welcome change. You know, because this comes naturally to you because you welcome those adjustments. When we feel that fear bubbling up, you know, because we're going to be stepping into the new, the other, the unfamiliar, where our brain wants to completely take over and keep us safe by keeping us, you know, doing what we've always done, even though it might not serve us. Is there an exercise that you can give us for looking at the change, kind of seeing what's true and what isn't about the potential change, and how we can hold it in balance, you know, in a loving way?
Well, that's a great question. Do I have an exercise? What I can say is that having someone who you can sit with, who can help you see where you're judging, is really helpful, because you can't hear it. You can't hear it. No matter how trained you are, you can hear a lot of it, but you can't hear all of it. You know, our reality is a construction that we put together, and it feels very real to us. So it's hard for us to imagine that somebody else wouldn't see that. So anyway, sit with someone who can help you understand and hear how you're judging yourself and judging what it should be. Because if you can separate the judgment out and get clear about what is, believe me, you can handle it. You can handle it. You can make that decision, you can move forward and you can feel so good about the way you're going to do it.
And look, it's such great advice because yourself. You cannot get the perspective of the whole when you are inside of it. We all need help to see it a different way, to be, you know, analyzing our experiences, you know, in a different way. I mean, I do it all the time with different therapists, you know. So thank you for that. I want to ask you more about what you were talking about before, about when I asked you about intuition and you were talking about the collective consciousness. So again, everybody understands that in their own unique way, based on their life experiences, their religious and spiritual beliefs, their family, etc., their society, their culture, etc. So what's your understanding of that, and how do you help people tap into the collective consciousness and then trust it?
Okay, so you're probably discovering about me that I am sort of loosey-goosey about definitions and what things mean and really nailing down, you know, this is what it is. This is the formula. Because I believe that when you know what something is, your curiosity ends. The possibilities are over. This is what it is. So I really stay in this squishy place of, this is my experience with it. This is, you know, this is what it feels like for me right now. So for me, the collective consciousness is, I would separate it from what I would call God or the universe or spirit. And yep. I would say the collective consciousness is the knowing that is a collective of humans, plants, rocks, our universal experience. There is awareness and knowing that is available there. And I'm trying to think of an example. I would say that even our innate fears are collective consciousness. I'm reading this book about the change triangle. It's a therapeutic model of change. And at the bottom of the triangle, it's like an inverted triangle, is our base emotions. And there's only seven: fear, anger, disgust, sadness, excitement, sexual excitement, and one must be one more. But anyway, the point is that these are instinctual. You smell something disgusting, you want to get away from it. You retch, right? That's almost the collective consciousness, this awareness of, whoa, bad, no, right? It's this knowing that's right there for us. And part of it's in our DNA, it's wired into us. And part of it is just something that we absorb without realizing how we absorb it, that 100th monkey scenario where it's in the consciousness, the knowing, how babies are born knowing how to use iPhones these days.
Oh, gosh.
Right?
Yeah. So how do we trust it?
How do we trust it? This is really why I love doing what I do, because this learning how to trust it is really learning how to believe in who you are in such a deep way that it's below thought. It's below, what am I good at? What am I capable of? It's this belief in who I am as a being that's so powerful. And I love it so much. Okay, so how do I trust it? How do I trust it? Practice spotting the miracles, practice seeing the ways that you are right, practice slowing down and noticing what you feel and asking questions about it, and then watching the ways that those questions are answered by the circumstances around you, the people around you. You're going to see what you feel inside reflected back to you. It's going to blow your mind, but it's happening all the time. And that shows you, you can trust it. You are it.
Yeah, I love that. The other thing I really love about your approach is encouraging people to trust what else is going on, that you don't have to do all the work, that you can surrender to the fact that there is a collective creation element here, that what you would do on your own is never going to be as great as what the collective can create with you. So tell me more about that, because I think it might be my favorite part of your work in my long list of favorites.
Oh my gosh. It's so magical. It's so magical. And this is part of that flow of miracles. Northrop. Have you heard of Kate Northrop? She does a lot of work around money and flow and right. And I heard an interview with her one time, and she said, make space for the magic. And she was talking about projections, financial projections in your business. And she says, you know, you want to account for about 70, 75% of the revenue you expect. And then you want to leave room for magic, because that's the place where the money's going to come to you, because you met somebody and you did a project or something unexpected rolled along. And when you learn how to live in that space of the magic, that's what happens. That's what happens. Just our conversation today, I had emailed you, hey, you know, we bumped into each other. I'd love to do your podcast. And, I didn't hear back for a while. Didn't really think too much about it. No big deal. And was on my way, started creating the Miracles Club and continuing on my path. And then I heard back from you, and it was the perfect time. How magical. I have this beautiful thing that I really want to share. And if I had not been in that place of miracles, I would have been stressed out. I could have doubted myself. I could have, who knows what, right?
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. Because when I invited you on all those many months ago, you didn't know that I was a person of my word. And that when I say something, I mean it, you know, and I'm going to do it, you know, and yeah, it is absolutely the right time to have this conversation right now. So how can we join the Miracles Club calls? Because I want to get in on that.
Come to the Miracles Club. Yes, it's so easy. It's
when
so
do you
easy.
Do that? Every week.
The Miracles Club meets every Tuesday morning at 9 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. So that's like New York time.
Yes.
And we do have some special occasion Miracles Club meetings at other times, but every Tuesday morning we are there and everyone is invited. It's totally free. There's a link that's going to be on the episode webpage. There's links on my website to sign up. You just sign up and then you'll get the email with the link and the reminders. And all you have to do is log in.
Wonderful. And you do Zoom calls, right? So you do private consultations on Zoom calls too.
Yeah. I do a lot of in-person workshops and groups and things, but by and large, my work is on Zoom.
Yeah, I mean, being able to connect online is just such an incredible gift, because you can access people from all over the world. It's amazing. So Heather, I always close every episode with the same question, which is, for someone that has a dream in their heart and doesn't feel like they have what it takes to make it happen, what would you say to them?
I would say, take one step. And then the next step, and keep listening to the thing that keeps coming back. That's your intuition. That's your purpose. That's going to lead you in the direction you want to go. And don't worry if things look like they're going sideways. Sometimes that needs to happen to make space for what's wanting to show up. Just keep going. And sometimes you'll be able to move at a sprint, and sometimes it's going to be more like a crawl. And that's really, really okay. Just keep taking the next thing that shows up for you, and magic is going to happen.
Well, again, embracing your definition of miracles, they're happening all day, every day, when you choose to switch your energy from fear to love. So many beautiful takeaways from our conversation, but that's the big one for me, that there are miracles happening every day and you can create them, that they're not something that are just bestowed on you. And they may be because you're feeling the energy from other people's miracle creations, right? I can only imagine what it's like in your group where everyone is recognizing their miracles, creating their miracles, sharing their miracles. And when miracles are like flying around in the space together amongst these people that are sitting in communion and loving each other, oh my goodness, I can't imagine how that sets the tone for your day. So I love it how you do it in the morning. And then you have the meditation and, I can't even imagine what happens to people in your group that day, the day of the meeting.
I get messages every week, people saying, I can't believe what just happened. I have to be there. My week is not the same without it. The more you train yourself to watch for the miracles, the more you see them everywhere.
Yes.
And it changes how you feel. We know there's science about neuroplasticity and rewiring your brain and all of that. Why not rewire it for miracles? Why not?
Yeah. I love this. I just have to ask you something that's been in my head for the whole hour we've been talking. Why unconventionalintuitive.com? Why did you choose that as your website name? I love it.
Well, true to form, I don't like definition and I don't want to have to stick to one thing. I didn't want to have to say Heather McGuire, Reiki Master, Heather McGuire Medium. I wanted to have the freedom to move in whatever direction I wanted to go with a client. And that felt right.
I love it. I love it. Let's just keep going with what feels right. Oh, what a gift it was meeting you last year and learning about you and your work and this beautiful timing that is today for this conversation. So thank you so much for how you show up in the world. What a pleasure.
Oh, thank you. I feel exactly the same. Exactly the same. I feel very, very blessed to be here talking with you and perfect timing.
Oh, lots of great takeaways from that conversation. The trusting your intuition is a practice, and you get better at it the more you practice. And that intuition isn't just a meeting of our mind, body, and spirit, but the collective consciousness, that we're grabbing information from all of these different places. And that to tap into our intuition, all we need to do is connect with our breath and our curiosity. I loved when she said, just slow down and keep asking yourself questions, to pay attention to how you're feeling as a way of deciding if this is your intuition telling you to do something or whether it's your fear, just making it harder. That really resonated with me. And the practice of, that happened, just taking something that happened today and holding it with a light touch and just noticing how it made you feel and what you can learn from it. And I really liked her explanation of the difference between fear and intuition, and that to differentiate between the two, just practice paying attention to where fear lives in your body and what that feels like. And then once we can recognize it in our bodies, then we can recognize it in our thoughts. I also liked what she was saying about that fear tends to have a judgment and a bite to it, that it rarely says anything positive and it just doesn't make us feel good, you know, whereas our intuition feels completely different. It's generative and warm and supportive and it doesn't come in an onslaught of words, but in a flash of knowing and understanding that feels right, even if it's scary. And I loved her explanation of it feeling like a feather, just settling to the ground, that there's a lightness and an ease to your intuition, and that we really do know when it's right and when it's wrong. I'll definitely download her inner pickle checklist. What a great resource for asking questions to teach you what fear looks and sounds like in your body And I loved when she said, sometimes there's these kernels of reason that come through with fear, but mostly it's these thoughts that are so catastrophic and ridiculous that if you really listen to what's coming up for you, you'll realize that they're just not true and that those thoughts don't serve you. And that her inner pickle checklist helps you energetically shift into action and out of that place of paralysis that we can get into. I was really interested when she was talking about vulnerability. And that when you stand up and say, this is who I am, that the vulnerability is really present. And that's scary, you know, and we either pull away from it out of fear, or we decide we're going to step towards it and lean into it because that's where we know the power is. And that's where the juice of life is. And we really want it. And that really resonated. I've definitely felt like that in my life. And when we were talking about that, you don't have to do all the work, that the universe, you know, what the universe can cook up is so much more powerful than anything you can create on your own. And just surrendering to the fact that there is collective creation, you know, and that's an element that you can work with and that can serve you and just make space for the magic. And I love her definition of miracles, that a miracle is simply a shift from fear to love. And that we have the power to create miracles every day. And the more you train yourself to watch for the miracles, the more you see them everywhere. And it changes how you feel and how people respond to you. So, definitely join her Miracles Club. It's what a beautiful free resource to sort of just, you know, learn to tap into your intuition, get access to her and the rest of that community. And well, when she talked about the incredible things that happen when everybody gets together and starts recognizing and celebrating the miracles and how that energetically shifts everything, I believe it. So you can connect with Heather and join the Miracles Club at unconventionalintuitive.com. And yeah, I'm really interested to hear what resonated with you from this episode.
I want to hear about your It Has To Be Me story. So head on over to ithastobeme.com/stories to share it in our free community. You can also join the conversations we're having about this episode and others. I'm Tess Masters. Join me next week and we'll dive inside another great story to help us go from dreaming to doing.